This is Tri-State's Public Radio News. Wednesday is a national day of mourning for George H.W. Bush. The nation's 41st president died over the weekend. He was 94. Bush served two terms as vice president under Ronald Reagan, then was elected president in 1988. Western Illinois University history professor Richard Philippink says few U.S. vice presidents have gone on to win election to the presidency. He says Bush succeeded in part by running a negative campaign against Democratic Party nominee Michael Dukakis, and in part by playing to his own strengths.
One of the things that Bush was very good at was foreign policy. He was experienced, he was knowledgeable, and he took advantage of the fact that Dukakis was not.
And that really played out through his presidency, too, correct?
Yes. And in fact, you could sort of think of Bush as having two separate presidencies, his foreign policy presidency, which is largely successful, and his domestic policy presidency, which was largely not.
And it's the domestic policy that cost him in 92. It's the economy, stupid.
Exactly. Bush could not come up with a way to get out of the recession that resulted after the Persian Gulf War. He could not come up with a successful way to deal with the declining race relations in the United States after the LA riots. And he could not come up with an answer for either Bill Clinton on his left or Ross Perot on his right.
And that's kind of interesting because during and right after the Persian Gulf War, his approval ratings were sky high.
Well, indeed, he had one of the highest approval ratings in American history. He was the first president to break a 90 in the Gallup poll approval ratings, and scared out the first rank of Democratic contenders. People like Mario Cuomo and Richard Gephardt and Al Gore all decided they're not running for the presidency in 1992; that they had no chance. And so you sort of get the second team for the Democrats. You have a former senator who's dying of cancer. You have the former governor of Arkansas, who is caught in an infidelity in the middle of the campaign. And so it looked like on paper that Bush should have been reelected.
So what happened?
Well, he ran into two problems. The first is in his own party. Conservatives never liked or trusted Bush. They thought he was not one of them. He was a little too willing to compromise, a little too pliable. And so they ran a candidate against him in Patrick Buchanan, who embarrassed him in the New Hampshire primary and forced him to his right. Newt Gingrich did not like Bush, did not trust Bush, attempted to derail the compromise he had made to raise taxes and close the deficit. And so he didn't have that solid base within the party to run on, and that left him vulnerable to the economic attacks coming from the Democrats.
Do you feel he was out of touch with the common person? I seem to recall him campaigning at a grocery store and just being blown away by scanners, which by then were commonplace in stores across America, and he apparently had never seen this before.
One of the most significant mistakes I think a political leader can make is to try and pretend he's just like everybody else. The Bush family was wealthy. Bush had spent his adulthood after World War II living in a fairly affluent background in Texas. And so it's not surprising that he did this. It is surprising that his PR people allowed him into this kind of situation. But no, Bush did not really have very much empathy for the struggles of the average American because he never had undergone them. His service in World War II is outstanding, but he's never had to make ends meet in his life.
What about after his presidency? He lived a long life after he left the White House. Does he have any major accomplishments that we can point to?
Well, beyond his decision to learn how to skydive, unlike, say, Jimmy Carter, Bush was not a tremendously activist president when it came to politics. He was, however, an activist president when it came to fundraising. He did a very good job along with former President Clinton in raising funds after Hurricane Katrina. He began to develop some empathy for the suffering of others post-presidency. And I think that sort of made him more human as his life continued.
It's been 25 years since he left office, so how does history look upon his presidency now? Is it different than when he left office?
Certainly. I think when he left office, he was seen as something of a failure because he was only a one-term president. I think history has sort of looked at the Bush presidency in terms of three things. First, for some historians, as just an extension of the Reagan presidency, but which I think is somewhat unfair, and that Bush actually handled things that Reagan probably was not equipped to handle. Second thing is to sort of separate Bush's presidency out into two separate presidencies, to not unlike what you do with Richard Nixon, that here's his foreign policy successes, and we'll spend time talking about those, and then here's the economic and domestic failures, and here, which is why he was not reelected. And the third is to sort of reserve judgment on Bush, because some of the things that he did have directly led to some of the problems we have today, that unintentionally, his willingness to compromise and his willingness to raise taxes leads directly to the rise of the Gingrich conservatives taking over the House and beginning to dominate the Republican Party. The idea that it's better to be partisan and ideologically pure than to govern is an unintended consequence of Bush's actions.
Richard Philip Hink is a professor in the Department of History at Western Illinois University. He believes conservatives should have embraced and trusted President George Bush instead of railing against him. Philip Hink says Bush was fairly conservative economically, and he managed to govern while maintaining his core values. Bush visited this region after he left the White House. He gave the commencement address at Monmouth College in May of 2000, just a few months before his son, George W. Bush, was elected president. I'm Rich Egger, Tri-States Public Radio News.